Welcome to the Move Without Limits podcast, brought to you by Reload Physical Therapy and Fitness. This is where we think different to move different. Yeah. Hey, Reload family, welcome to our second interview with Sam Chacha. In season one, we interviewed Sam as she was making a huge transition in her career. After 9 years of practicing as a PA and experiencing burnout, she decided to make strength coaching, which at the time was her part-time work, her full-time work, because she read a journal entry of her as a kid that said that she wants to travel the world and educate. And to quote Sam from that first interview, he said, quote, "I thought that the ultimate expression of helping people was healthcare until I got into the fitness industry," unquote. And mic drop on that one. But Sam, welcome back. Thanks for sharing your voice and your time.
Thanks for having me back. Thinking back on our interview back then, I'm like, so much has happened and so much growth, but that you just requoted, I'm like, oh my God, that just brings tears of like, I said that? Like, that's so valuable in that statement. And I still believe it till this day.
Yeah. We have so much to celebrate in this conversation. When we had that first interview, it was right when you were transitioning. You were about to leave to travel. And a lot has changed since then. Mm-hmm. If you want to shed light on what happened after that.
Yeah. I mean, so I was gone for a total of 8 months. I booked a one-way flight to Portugal. And from Portugal, my plan was to travel around the world. I got as far as the Middle East, and then I came home. I had to come home because I had a health issue. I was diagnosed with breast cancer overseas in Croatia. So once we got a bigger picture of what was going on, I decided to get care back in the United States and just take care of that. And pretty much that's what brought me back here. That's kept me here. And now that I am pretty much past all the surgeries and most of the treatment, the next step is, okay, what's my next step? Is it in the States? Is it out of the States? But yeah, that's ultimately in a nutshell what happened. Obviously, there's a lot within that year of everything happened. But yes, I am back in the States for 2 more weeks. I'm off again.
Yes. And just thinking of that conversation and all the changes and everything that was going on then to you following your passion, your dream, and then getting the most ultimate challenge thrown at you.
Yeah, it brought to surface a lot of things that I didn't even know could come to surface. Brought up a lot of insecurities I didn't think I had. It brought up a lot of reflection on my life. So when I'm under stress, when things are just tough, I put my head into my business. And business did really well for that reason, but I was neglecting all other aspects of my life. And it showed up in a big way. And it forced me to look at a lot of things, which is hard. But the great thing about that is the amount of growth that I've had from once I got back to the States till now, which is, I guess, 10 months. It's been immense, and I didn't realize that I needed this growth in order to expand into the next phase of my life, because how I wasn't healthy internally. I wasn't healthy. I was running. I was going, literally jumping from country to country. I was running and not facing a lot of things. And this diagnosis, this experience made me face a lot of things for the better, because now I am so much more healthier inside and out, literally and figuratively. And now I feel really unstoppable. I feel like I can do anything. If I can quit my job, travel the world, get diagnosed with cancer, beat cancer while running a business and seeing the business grow all at the same time, like, what else? Like, you know, so it's exciting. But a lot of times I realized that you need to go through some hard things under pressure
to really see the beauty outside of that and beyond, you know. So that's you know, a big thing, that realization that happened this past year.
Wow, Sam. Mm.
Big.
Mm. What kind of support did you lean into in that time?
Well, you learn very quickly who's in your corner and who's not. You learn very quickly people that are able to handle situations like these and handle life-threatening situations and be your support. Because I get it, it's hard. It's tough to be the loved one or to be someone going through it with you. It's just as hard as them, to them, on them, as it is on the person actually going through it. So a lot of trimming of relationships and friends. But then the ones that are, I always thought were my truest, stood up to the plate. My close friends, family, and no matter what, they were there. So to your question, my closest, you know, girlfriends in New York and my parents really kind of were my foundation to help me through. And it wasn't easy. It was really hard.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times where what I appreciated the most is they just gave me space. And space in that, like, space to talk. If I needed to talk, they would get on the phone and just listen. If they just wanted, like, my one friend, Samara, she was like, if you just want me to sit next to you on a couch in silence, I'll sit next to you on a couch, you know? And she's like, we don't have to say anything. We don't have to do anything. But just holding space for me there is exactly what I needed during that time. And, like, forever grateful for those people who had the capacity to do that, to help me. Because I realized that I am not superwoman and I can't be strong. You know, I don't say strong. That's not the right word. I can't be put together all the time. I can't be, you know, everything's great, unicorns, all that great stuff all the time. Like when shit hits the fan and it gets real, you need some people to lean into. And that was really hard for me because I never really thought I could. Never really trusted many people that I could lean into. I always trusted myself. Like, I could do it. I'm, you know. But it really showed me that there were a few people that I really could lean on and fully lean on and be vulnerable and allow them to hold me up during these times.
Yeah.
I think that's helpful to the people that are the caregivers in that role, and that you don't always have to say something. Sometimes I think people don't extend that helping hand or give that space because they feel like they have to say something and they don't know what to say, but you don't have to.
Right. And yeah, 100% agree. And I feel like some people, they feel like they need to say something. Sometimes they say the wrong things and that's also not good either. But I get it. I was in that situation where my mom got diagnosed a few years ago when I was a junior in college. And it was hard. I didn't know how to handle the situation. I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, like someone's going through something. So I get it. I have empathy for that because I was there at one point and know that just being a phone call away, a text away is all that we need, you know?
Yeah. Now, when I think of you, I always think of this as a role model of a strong woman. And I thought that even years and years ago, right? And still now I'm like, wow. I would look at your posts on Instagram and be like, holy shit, she's so fucking strong. And without a bell in your hand now, you know? What did you learn about being strong as a woman in this process?
Biggest thing I learned was strength is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I thought that vulnerability meant weakness. And when I started being more open and vulnerable with myself, with people closest to me, and then I did make it more public on social, I realized how much more that made me stronger. And how that came to be is because other people were being affected in a positive way by what I was sharing and helping. And that's always been what I wanted to do, is always help some way and somehow. If my experience, could be helpful to someone else, and being vulnerable, you know, what gets women screening a little bit more. Like, that's the biggest thing that I got is women reaching out and they're like, I couldn't believe you're so young. Like, this made me want to go get tested and just bring awareness to, you know, something unfortunately that just happens at such a young age nowadays. I really found like that's where that strength is. And then being someone that women can look up to and say, hey, yeah, this happened to her, but, you know, she's not skipping a beat. She did what she needed to do, take care of, you know, herself, and then still continue to move, still continue to work out, still continue to show up. And I think that's like a big thing that I've been really saying to myself recently. It was like just showing up and showing out. And I really think that has resonated with me this past year is no matter what, I'm going to be showing up. I will show up at capacity that I can, but I will. And I feel like Daniel can attest to this because he was doing his high-risk yank summits. And I, with my business, I couldn't teach my workshops that I would do or run the certification I wanted to run. So he was so gracious to invite me and kind of could teach and help him. And that kind of like got my fix of like teaching in person because I love it so much. But every time that I agreed on a summit with him, something dramatic happened before or after. So like the first time I taught with him in New York, it was a week before my mastectomy. When I taught with him in Philly, I had a complication with egg freezing. So I was just literally getting drained at the hospital 2 days before I was teaching with him. And then in New York, what was it? I just had my implant surgery. 1 week out of my implant surgery, I'm flying to Chicago to teach. And I was like, I'm showing up. I'm showing up. And obviously I was, if I wasn't healthy or didn't feel like it's safe, I wouldn't go. But to me, I promised myself that when I agree to things and if I can physically, I'm showing up and being present and showing other women that this is not stopping me. This happened. And what I really changed the narrative, breast cancer didn't happen to me. It happened for me. And it's essentially not who I am. It doesn't embody anything that has to do with Sam Siasi, Chacha. I always say Sam Chacha. other than it's an experience that I went through. Just like I had a college experience, you go through cancer experience. I wish no one has to go through, but you learn from it and you move on. But it's not who I am. And I'm going to keep doing my life, keep running the business, what I can do in the meantime. So yeah, just show it up.
Mm. And it's so hard to be a woman in this conversation. Cancer is the thing, right? But I think a woman listening be like, we all have our thing. That's our mountain we have to climb, the thing we have to get through. And you have to show up and be this masculine, if you will, energy to it. But we're also so passionate and emotional, and it's hard to be vulnerable. What would you say for the people that they feel like this mountain that they're trying to climb, this obstacle that they have to go through, whatever that is, that's so big? What would your advice be to that person to make them feel empowered?
Take it piece by piece. I like to use the analogy of training. So when we have a big task in front of us and we're not sure what to do, we don't just jump into it, right? Like if I'm working up to, let's say, like a 48K swing, I'm going to warm up first. I'm going to take it piece by piece and start with maybe like a 20K and then like a 24. And I really saw that parallel with how I was doing and going through it myself. It's just like, okay, this giant mountain is in front of me. I'm just going to like one thing at a time, piece at a time. And that really made it easy to digest. And you just try to edge away, piece it away of whatever that obstacle is, whatever. And it could be something tangible. Like I had to deal with my insurance dropping on me 3 days before my surgery and having a hospital say, oh, and then a nursing strike at the same time saying they literally can't do my surgery. And figuring that out to something intangible of the insecurity that I realized I didn't have when they told me I was going to lose my breast and potentially lose my hair with chemo. And I'm like, okay, how do I get past this? How do I look at myself in the mirror with these changes and still see myself as beautiful? it can be overwhelming. So it's just like one thing at a time. Obviously, if you're getting hit with 20 different things or having this huge mountain ahead of you, it's just like, okay, one thing, get through that. Next thing, get through that. Next thing, get through that. And that really helped me like kind of navigate throughout all these hardships.
Yeah. Mm. And now something you mentioned earlier was that you had to let go of a lot of friendships. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching you on the sidelines, so I'd love to learn more. But you also have created a community for yourself. Like you pick them good. You have in your circle. So you've worked with Daniel a bunch, like you talked about, and Lacey, and you're building your own woman army with your Bells Mechanics course. And you worked with Megan on a collaboration. So how do you pick the people in your circle, and how do you choose who you're going to set boundaries with?
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing that I learned this past year. And I would say starting off is you put out the energy that you want to attract, right? And I realized that a lot of, I had to start with me. How am I showing up within myself? How am I showing up in life that people would want to be around, people want to attract? And then vice versa of like who I would want to, you know, be associated with. So it kind of just happened when I started dealing with that myself. Just those people just started coming up. Like Daniel, we knew of each other, but we never worked together. And it was a simple phone call like, hey, I really respect you. Would you want to come teach? And giving that a chance. And if, let's say, I'm always willing of giving people chances, but if there's like you have an interaction with them, or if you have a conversation, if that doesn't align with you, or you just don't get that good feeling with them, it's like, okay, great. Kudos, nice, happy for you, but from a distance. And just being able to navigate that and have that discernment between conversation and conversation. And that really helped me decide yes to this person, no to this person, with respect. And obviously, like, I don't have any burn bridges or any negative feelings towards people. It's just kind of like, I will support you and cheer you on from a distance, you know? And then there's other people that I'm like, yes, I want you in my circle. I want to be in your circle, because what I look for is people who are progressive, people who see big, who dream big and actually do it, people who are not negative, who people are not seeing themselves smaller than what they are, because that's such a limiting factor. And I think there's a time and a place for me to speak into lives like that. But when talking about being in your close corner and close circle, I need other people that are very like-minded with me on that. And it's just like, dream big, dream bigger, think big, think bigger, because that's going to happen. And that's who are the people I want to be around. And that's who the people that will help me, and vice versa. So that has really been a good just life lesson in general, business or not business, just talking about friends and relationships in general, you know?
Yeah. Dreaming big as a value to choosing a friend. I love that. I love because like, what's the point otherwise, honestly? If we're not trying to fulfill our dreams and have an amazing life, like that's the only room I want to be in too. Is with dreamers and doers.
Yeah, exactly. And people who truly support you. And that's something I realized with the girls and the Bell Mechanics. They truly support you, and there's no jealousy, no malice. And it's just like, they're just for you. And I get that, because there's friends that I feel like I am towards, and vice versa. And just being able to experience that. Like there's this one girl, her name's Paloma. She took my course, ended up taking, she's a trainer now. And now we've become close friends. And I tell her every time, she is so like for you, supportive. Like you feel so good after you talk to her. And that's like what I'm looking for. And there's actually a quote that Daniel reminded me of. Is that people will not remind you about what or be reminded of you of what you did, but how you made them feel. So I'm looking for those people that I'm leaving a conversation, I feel uplifted, I feel encouraged, I don't feel down. Mm-hmm. And once you bring that awareness and tap into that bit more, it's easier for you to navigate. Like, I had dinner with someone the other day and it was all about drama and this and that. And I left so heavy after that conversation. And I was like, there was nothing of value in that conversation other than a nice meal. But outside of that, relationship wise, I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I'd rather leave the conversation encouraged, or the other person encouraged, loved, welcomed, all positive feelings. So I learned to tap into that a bit more this year of like what feels good, what doesn't feel good.
I think that's something big as, again, as a woman. I mean, men do this too, but like the gossiping and complaining, I think sometimes people do that as trying to connect with someone. Like, it's almost, it's like trying to be vulnerable, but on this very surface level. But like, girls function on surface levels. So we should just stop doing that and talk about our dreams because they're possible. Like, it's almost like we've had so much time on this earth of saying that our dreams aren't possible, then now we talk about dumb things.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's, I'm like, why? And I think that stems from just learning more about energy. I've always been a giver. And going back to my health experience, I didn't have the energy to be able to handle those negative conversations or handle anything that wasn't of importance, because I literally just didn't have the capacity. And moving forward, what I took from that is like, no, even though I now have the capacity that I'm healthier moving on, but I'm choosing not to be exposed to that. Because why? I'd rather take that energy and refocus it on things that are constructive, right? Things that are building, because energy is either positive or negative, right? So it's just like, I want things that are more in the positive end. And if it's not, like, deuces.
Yeah. Now, I think the hardship with that is that the dreamer you big, I mean, well, oh my God, the bigger your dream, it's been a long day. The bigger your dream and the more you experience of all the good, there's also going to be the bad. There's always going to be a balance there. So as we're trying to live through our passions and accomplish our dreams, and we have these fearful moments that happen, the thing that stands in your way, the moments where you really don't feel like you have control, how do you find empowerment in those hard moments?
Yeah, so I'm going to reference to Michael Jordan. I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. And seeing him throughout his life, he saw those challenges, or he saw those negativity as a challenge to prove that wrong. And I really respected that and really am taking that on myself of when things get hard or when those negative thoughts come in, it's like, that's actually the one thing that you should be pressing into more, because there's a reason why those negative thoughts, those things want to stop you from doing something great, right? So I'm just like, okay, that means I need to focus more energy and intention on this, because something great is going to come out of this if I can break through that thing that's holding me back or that negative thought, you know? So like, to give you an example with the trainer certification, I've been going back and forth on this for a few years now. Like, I had this whole thing designed and developed last year, but just sitting on it and just like, oh, I don't know, like, is it worth it? Like, not worth it, but like, is it like what people want to come, what people want to do this, learn from it? And it came down to running the mock certification with the girls in my mentorship in the Miami weekend. And I was sitting on it, and one of the girls were like, Sam, are we doing this or not? And it just took one word of me saying yes. And within 2 days, everything was booked and planned out. And I'm like, oh, it was me. I was holding my own self back from everyone. And then when the weekend happened, it was an amazing weekend. Things, you know, a lot of, we moved the needle in a lot of ways. And I'm like, oh, that one thing, those, all those negative thoughts of saying, don't do this, you're not good enough, you know, you're not smart enough to run a certification, blah, blah, blah. That was the, those things were holding me back from something that turned into a really, really great weekend. And I truly believe that's going to be even better weekends the more and more this cert grows. So I basically just say, whatever those negative thoughts are, whatever those, that is, that just tells you, you got to focus in on that more and push through that, because that's where you're going to get really, that's where you're going to get the victory and get the results. And yeah.
The pressure that forms the diamonds.
Right. That is right. Yes.
I love that. I love that. I just pictured your necklace as I said that.
I was wondering, yes.
What a metaphor.
So cool how that happened. When Megan reached out to me about this, she showed me, and what Megan didn't know, so it's called the Sam necklace, and it was inspired by my situation and me. But what Megan didn't know is I've been thinking about wanting a necklace like that. And I was telling my friend, I was like, I really want like a nice, simple diamond, classy, chic, timeless. And when Megan showed me this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally me. Like, this embodies who I am. It embodies the situation for what it is. It was just so cool. And the coolest thing about it is when we launched it publicly about the necklace, it was exactly 1 year from when I was diagnosed. We didn't even know this. I texted her on the side. I was like, yo, Megan, guess what? Literally 1 year ago today, I was diagnosed. And now we're pushing out your necklace and helping and giving back to women in this. Like, isn't that so cool?
Okay. That's amazing. That's amazing. So tell everyone how it's giving back.
Yeah. So when the Sam necklace is gorgeous, it's white diamond and 14 karat gold. Very simple, very chic, but the casing of it, or the setting, is of the anatomy of a breast. And the shape of the diamond is like oblong, like a breast tissue. So obviously it represents that. But anyone who buys a necklace, 10% of that goes to essentially women who are newly diagnosed with breast cancer. And the cool thing about that is that opened up the door to start my own foundation. And that money will be going towards my charity called the Samantha Lynn Foundation. And I decided to do this because when I was originally diagnosed, I was in a pretty tough situation. I had global insurance. They essentially dropped me and I was uninsured 3 days before my surgery, as I mentioned before. And Daniel and his foundation, actually his charity, helped me out when I was really in a stuck position. And I was like, I want to be able to do that for other women, you know, in these situations, because we all know how healthcare is. We all know how that works. So just having another source to help, because it's not just the expenses of the hospital, but it's so much, all the things involved, that I want to be able to help other women. And the cool thing about it is the program I'm designing, I'll have access to a lot of women. I'll know their situations and say, hey, I have this program for you, which we can talk about in a second. And then I also have, you know, a way to help you out too, in means that you may not be able to. So I think that's really a cool ecosystem that's building around this and helping other women.
Mm. Okay, so I want to get into that now. And before I ask you that, I want to ask you about your relationship to strength training. And what this experience really taught you about your relationship to being strong, training, strength and conditioning, which you have a strong background in, and your knowledge of the body, but the beliefs that you either have let go or have evolved, what you feel for strength and conditioning now.
Yeah. I think strength and conditioning and essentially strength training, more or less, is showing up as consistency, being consistent in what you're doing and being able to listen to your body. So I feel like there's a big notion of linear progression all the time, right? Like, you can't ever bounce up and down. Like, it's just, you do this, you hit this milestone, and then you have to move up from that milestone. And if you ever move back or below that milestone, then you're weak, or then, you know, you regressed or digress. And that's one thing this year that I firsthandly experienced, that's not the case, because I was in and out of the OR. I was in and out of surgeries, in and out of complications. And if I had that mindset, I would have not worked out. I would have never gone to the gym. But every moment that I had the opportunity to move, I would take it. And that meant knowing, okay, I have 4 weeks recovery before the next surgery. So these 4 weeks, I'm going to do what I can. And then knowing that I'm going to start back to square one again after that next surgery. And then going back to square one and saying, that's okay, I'm back to my range of motion exercises. I'm back to just go. Sometimes I would just go to the gym and just sit there and breathe, just to go there and get into the habit of just being there and being in that presence of everyone else. Like, I was inspired by everyone else, even though I couldn't do all the things. But that
that habit that I was forming showed me that it doesn't have to be intense all the time. I physically couldn't be intense. Like when I'm telling you, I was doing lunges and reaching. That was my workout for the day, you know? But just letting go of the linear progression. And it's funny I say that because that is a programming aspect that we use, but just progressing up, up, up and up and being okay that sometimes we need to go back. And that doesn't mean that you're weak. That doesn't mean you're not getting stronger at all. So it's more like a yo-yo, up, down, up, down, up, down. And you just kind of gauge it based on your circumstances, you know, what's happening.
Yeah. Can you shed some light on your experience with getting back into strength training? I think there's a lot of fear mongering. And it's hard to tell because it does depend on such an individual basis how you get back into strength training, but you never want to do too much too soon, but you also don't want to do too little too late. So what worked for you?
Yeah. Curiosity. Mm-hmm. So listening to your body, I would go to the gym. And so for example, usually the first 6 weeks out of surgery, they say no lifting over 10 pounds and don't get your heart rate up too much for good reasons. So I'm like, okay, within those parameters, I would say, okay, let's try this movement. Let's try that movement. And then I would ask myself after the set, did that feel good or did that not feel good? And the more I was just aware and asking myself, it kind of helped guided me and directed me for the rest of the workout. So for example, one day I was trying to hold in a plank and first 2 seconds I'm holding, I'm like, that did not feel good. I'm not doing, okay. So I know I'm not doing body weight planks right now. So then I would move on to the next exercise. Oh, this felt good. Okay. Maybe I can do it with a little bit of heavier weight. So that's where the curiosity comes in. I'll do a set. Oh, that felt good. Okay. Let's try another heavier weight. Do that. That felt good. And then that's where I started building my baseline and saying, okay, well, I know for a leg press, I can do 70 pound leg press with feeling good without getting my heart rate up too much. And I didn't really have any issues afterwards, or it didn't feel like it was straining or stressing too much. And I just went through that in the first few weeks of just really assessing myself and asking myself those questions. And as time went on, my baselines of weight would just keep going up and up and up to that. Now, 4 months out of surgery, I was actually shocked. 4 months out of surgery, I was doing double 20K kettlebell jerks for like 10. Yeah. I never thought day of my life, because with breast surgery, your limited overhead range of motion is a huge thing. So the fact that I was able to do that, and I give that credit to being able and moving. And the cool thing about it, and anyone who's listening, is even though, especially in the first like recovery stages, they don't recommend to lift and all that stuff for great reasons, but that doesn't mean no movement. Right? It doesn't mean you can't breathe, you can't work the rib cage, you can't do other things that will kind of help the healing. And when I did that, it's kind of crazy. My pain actually went down and I was able to get off like strong narcotic meds sooner because of the movement that I was doing. And I'm like, if that's not beneficial within itself, you know, let alone just increasing your range of motion, I don't know what is. So yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of things I love about what you just said. One of the first things I love is you showed how you developed this flexible mindset when it comes to exercises. I think a lot of times people get attached to an exercise, and the reason for the exercise is for the outcome, whether that be a better mood or feeling stronger. The exercise isn't it. It's how you feel, the adaptation. That's what's it. That's the thing. You didn't let not being able to do a body weight plank hold you back, because that was the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, that's not it for today. And literally I would tell myself like, oh, okay, Sam, not today, maybe tomorrow, but not today. Hmm. And then on to the next exercise, because every day changes. So that helped me build the library of like, you know, what felt good and what didn't. But that was the ultimate question of like, what felt good, what didn't feel good. And I think it's really, really important, rather than being so focused, like you said, on the exercise or on like the program. And I wasn't on a program. I was just, you know, creating one. I was making one as I went and as the days went on.
And really the other thing I love about that is that your approach to pain management was developing that awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was, as an ER provider for 10 years, I was not about to be on the narcs. I mean, with that said, with the surgery that I had a double mastectomy. I'm grateful for the first week. I think it was a week or 2 weeks for that. But I was trying to get off of it as soon as possible. And I did try, actually. I tried to wean myself off sooner and I felt the repercussions. I was like, okay, too soon. But coming up with different ways of how can I, you know, introduce, because we know that movement is medicine. We know that it's healing to our body. How can we do it in a lucrative way that is going to be for our body? Because we always think about when we're working out, tear our bodies down. You know, it's not a great workout until you're like crushed on the floor. And I literally have the opposite. I'm like, how is this going to build my body? How is this going to help me in its healing process? How it's going to help me be constructive for the rest of the day or whatever my task is or my goals are? That's more or less my mindset when I'm entering in the gym now. So how is it going to build me up rather than tear me down? Sometimes you need to be torn down to be built up, but that's another conversation to have. But
yes. Now, Sam, if somebody wants to work with you, get in touch with you, how do they find you and what kind of programs do you have going on right now?
Yeah, so they can find me on social media. My personal page is at SCIACCIA, or Chacha. And as far as the services, so I have a bunch going on. The biggest one is with the Bell Mechanics business, where I have the course, the Bell Mechanics course running. I also have a RX Strength group program that really focuses on just going through a program, a well-designed program that's safe, that's smart, that's teaching you how to move well and also learning new skills and all that great stuff. To kind of to reinforce all that I just said of like, I want to teach others to learn how they can be built up in movement and how they can use it to be beneficial. That's not like feel like they're being torn apart or feel like they're being crushed every time. And then I also offer some online coaching. I'm not opening anyone up now, but I do online coaching one-on-one if you have specific goals that you want to hit. So I like doing that because I just really love being able to like talk and communicate with people. So any way that I can. So those are the main ones that I have going on right now. And then the trainer certification's coming 2024. So stay tuned to that. So I'm really excited. And that's just an add-on to the course. So when the students sign on to the course, they have an option to just do the course, like a user course, or they can sign up for the certification and it'll be the course and then the two-day event happening.
I love it. All those strong women can go help other women to get strong and it'll just keep going and going and going.
Right. That's right. Yeah. We're building quite an army over here and they're all just strong in their own ways. And just what I like as a, like leader of the group in the Bell Mechanics, what I want to do is just see those strengths in these coaches and these people and just kind of help them live into that and bring them up in that strength even more. Like, you're really good at this. You should be doing this, or you're, you know, and just kind of uplifting them in that way so then they can live out their dreams and what they want. But like, you know, just helping them like, here, you're really good at this. Here, you're really good at that. Do this.
Fine, don't fine.
Exactly. So yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. Thank you so much, then. Before I let you go, I have a takeaway question.
Yes.
And I'm asking everyone this. It's been so fun to hear everyone's answers. And it's to think of a mentor who has really impacted who you are at your core today. So a mentor could be a teacher, coach, family member, whoever sticks out to you. What do you admire most about that person?
To go into who I am at my core, I would have to say my mom. You know, she has really embodied resilience and strength in a way that like you can pull her through the toughest of toughest battles and she'll somehow get through it. She will kind of muster up the internal strength and get through. And I really think I got that from her. She is very passionate. When she loves people, she loves you. And she will do anything for you.
And I'm like that too. Like, you know, we're talking prior. I'm the same way. When I'm deep. When I love deep. You know, when I care very deeply. And that's for myself as well as for other people. So like when I'm on something and doing something, like nothing can stop me. And that's the same thing how my mom, and I definitely got that from her. Yeah.
I love it, Sam. Thank you for sharing so much of what you've gone through. And there's just so much in this conversation that I think it's going to help a lot of, I know we spoke to women, but everybody, really. I think everyone can take something from this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you for having me on for round two and just kind of an update from last time. It's kind of wild, but it's great. I love it.
Like, if the last conversation was wild, like, we would have never known.
I always said, just to end off on this, I always said as a little girl, I wanted to live an extraordinary life and definitely living that up.
Yep. I love it. Well, thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm waving to you. Audio. We're waving. Bye.
Have it. This creatures of habit.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Reload's Move Without Limits podcast. I hope listening today has resonated with you, helped, and inspired you to take action. See the notes in the description for a rundown of the episode with all the important links.
If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share this with a friend and tag us on Instagram at reload.pt.
We love feedback and would be so grateful if you could write a review. It really helps us out.
For more information of our services and events, you can go to our website at www.reloadpt.com or find us on YouTube.
Enjoy your day and talk soon.